directly into his work. And I would goose him. And he sounded like all the Three Stooges at one time. He'd go, and we were in the middle of a test one day, and I goosed him, and he went, whoop, and the professor looked up, and knew who it came from, David, because I was quick to put my hand back. I did it two or three more times. When I came back after lunch, my books were over there. And they said, well, I said, why are my books over there? He said, that's your new seat. Yeah, praise God. That's right. Get your Bibles out. Where's my Bible? There it is. I'm actually gonna go through this passage of scripture many times. So just turn to Philippians. Now this is one of those. Remember a couple of Sundays ago, the Lord changed it right there on Sunday morning. I'm still working on a sermon on prayer, and what do you do when you don't know what to do? And I thought this was going to be the Sunday, and a couple of days ago it happened again. This time it gave me enough time that I could actually put it on the PowerPoint. Praise God. Get your Bibles. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Where's that clicker at? There we are. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. We're going to read some more verses later, but this is just for right now. Not as I have already attained, and of course this also gets kind of sticky. You're trying to say, what is he talking about? What's Paul talking about? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus. Verse 12. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Y'all say one thing. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, in Jesus Christ. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. I know, God, that you are more powerful than anything. God, you are power. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to see you, God, in a way that would please you, Lord. Help us, God, to work in a way that would please you. And I thank you, God, for all that you do for us. Let this day be a day of recommitment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. On the way down, give somebody a high five, low five, no five, and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise the name of God. If y'all got all the lighting ready for the thing there, because it looks different. Something looks different. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure. I'm just telling you ahead of time. There's a little boy that went with his mother to the old general store, and he liked to sneak away from his mother when no one was looking. He would dip his finger in the large barrel of molasses. How many remember the barrel of molasses and the barrel of pickles and all that good stuff? Remember that stuff back in the day? I remember that, honestly. I'm not that old. I'm only 56, but I remember. Yeah, but I remember. Okay. So, see, we weren't that fancy. he had his finger in a large barrel of molasses, and the storekeeper caught him doing this and decided to teach the boy a lesson. So he picked the boy up by his britches and dunked him head first in the barrel of molasses. And he set him on the front porch of the store. But instead of crying, the boy was out there praying, God, give me the tongue to equal this opportunity. All right, I was going along working on prayer. It was going to be a story about prayer or sermon on prayer. And as I was working, and it's not even the sixth month yet. It'll be the sixth month soon, which is half a year. Amen. Y'all know the 6 months is half a year. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, here I was. I was looking through this, and the Lord started speaking to me, and so then it brought up some issues in my own life, and so I want to bring up that same issues in your own life. Don't you like when the preacher meddles? Don't you like it when he gets all in your cornflakes and he ain't even got a bowl or a spoon or milk? Amen. Oh, yeah. This Tuesday night is the research for all the detention guys. Research this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the PCDC courtroom. The research is only about 30 minutes long. No, hold on. I ain't through yet. hold on just a minute. Research. Research is Tuesday night. It's not as long. We only have to go from 30 minutes to an hour. The ones that are training for the first time, which would be DC and Artie and Frankie and Steven, y'all got to stay for 10 hours. They serve you a snack at the end, too. They give you what to give the prisoners. You have to go through the wall to get to it. No. Yours is going to be about 2 hours, but ours is about 30 minutes. And what it is Brother Pollock will absolutely have to read word for word the training manual. According to the state of North Carolina, he has to read word for word. And so that's why you have to sit there forever. And Patrick, we got everybody together. We're on the same page now, because one time they had us at different times, and all of our guys, the regular guys, were on at the same time. So we all go Tuesday night. There should be some kind of makeup class, and if there isn't, because I know that you other have sometimes you really have an engagement you can't get out of, that's understandable. And if nothing else, I'll see from our people if I can do like I did with one other person when we did the HIPAA, not the HIPAA, but the other. I'll see if I can't step in and bring you in here and train you. So it's all a matter of who's doing what that day. Y'all know that, fellas. You know, you're going to some days and you're treated like royalty, and you're going to some days and they're following you around like you've done something wrong. And so we just go with the cards. We just blow whatever card they deal that day is what we do, because if we don't, well, it can cause problems. Here we go. How many remember New Year's? January the 1st. How many remember New Year's? Okay, well, look. So what we had the fellowship, all look. So there's some things we said, God, we're going to do it. I mean, God, we're going to take care of it. God, we got this covered. God, we're going to do exactly, Lord, watch what we're going to do. And we lasted for about, let me just ask this question. How many resolutions did you make? How many resolutions did you keep? How many resolutions did you forget? I kept all my resolutions this year because I made a resolution not to make a resolution. I've kept it. No. Really, I told God, Lord, you show me. See, the problem is we get on New Year's Day and we get all hyped up and happy because we're getting a fresh start. We're getting a chance to do it again. God's a God of seasons. And so he lets you have that new season so you can, you don't feel so bad. You get a fresh start. His mercies are new every day. Every day. Isn't that awesome? Y'all say every day. His mercies are new every day. If it weren't, we would be consumed. Thank you, God. Now, so we're called, listen. We're called to be fishers of men. But I notice a lot of people are more like fish on the bank or fish on the pier that's just flopping helplessly around. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, do you want to be a fisher of men, or do you want to be just flopping around like you don't know what's going on? Now, the secret to this is not even a secret, although Satan tries to keep it a secret, is go back up there. Look at the resolutions that you made. Look at the resolutions that you kept. Look at the resolutions that you actually forgot. Matter of fact, I'm gonna dig deeper. Get ready. I told you I was going to be meddling today. All right, here we go. So watch. Watch this. Resolution. Well, what's the New Year's resolution? Now, let me just give you something here. I'm going to bring her down to eye level. Resolutions are actually goals. That's what it is. It's a goal. And a goal, when you give it to God, becomes an opportunity. So watch now. Resolutions are not that, it's not a hard thing. It's not like it's some big old secret thing. It's not like it's some hard thing. Well, it's New Year's Day and I got to have 10 resolutions and I got, no. A resolution is nothing more than a goal. Y'all say goal. Goal. A resolution is nothing more than a goal, and it is actually a goal equals, amen. So watch this. Look, we all have them. Every last one of them. One of them is to lose weight. Praise God. I've hit a stump. I got to get past the stump again because I want to lose 10 more pounds. I can't seem to get the last 10 pounds, but it's coming. Amen. But still, it's been off for 6 months now. Praise God. That's right. And I feel better. I can run. When I was in Emmaus, they have golf carts to get everywhere at Camp Caroline. I ran everywhere. Matter of fact, when we go to, y'all, people who's been to Emmaus understand this. Every time I used to go to Emmaus, I would gain 5 pounds. And this time, I lost 3 pounds. And my wife says, how in the world does a man go to Emmaus, and I saw what you ate, and lose 3 pounds? I said, because I didn't use a golf cart. I ran everywhere. I went. And I made sure that I kept up the pace, kept it going. And some of us, our goals, make more money. And, of course, if it's to make more money so you can be a bigger blessing, awesome. God will bless you. But if it's to make more money so you can bless yourself more, well, okay, I'm not too sure about that one. Raise faithful children. Live faithfully to God. That's some of the stuff we all do. Look at this. I love what Thomas Edison said. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. I got to do that one again. Opportunity is missed by many people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Wow. We want God just to pop it to us. Here, just put it on me, Lord. And God says, roll up your sleeves. I'll show you something. Roll up your sleeves. I'll show you what can be done. So see, many of us have our goals. The problem lies is when the goal is a good goal, it's a worthy goal, and then there's the time when it's not a good goal. And again, here we go. Y'all say, put the plow down and meddle further. I'm glad you asked that. All right. See, it's not even meddling. It's just showing you something. Watch this now. Remember, resolution equals goals equals opportunity. Now, again, watch this. People in the Bible, we say, well, now you're talking leadership stuff. This isn't even biblical. I mean, why are you going to talk to us about goals? Talk to us about the Bible. Oh, I'm glad you asked that too. Because watch this. People in the Bible constantly had goals. Did you know that? Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about 3 classes of goals right now. First, Peter and the other disciples had a goal of remaining faithful to Jesus, even if they needed to die in fulfilling that goal. That was their goal. We're going to remain faithful to you, Jesus. You can count on us. Jesus says, but I'm going to be betrayed by man. And I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, no. I'll be here. Everybody else can deny you, but I'll be here. That's my goal, is to show you Jesus, number one. Get ready. It's a tough one. I need to show you, Jesus, that you don't know what you're talking about. Ouch. That's a good opportunity to go amen or ouch. Okay. Number two, Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem even though he knew it meant the cross. Even when he started talking about that, he looked over at Peter after he just said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, Peter, but the Spirit of God has showed you this. Then he turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he says, you're not going to go die. Then there's more than 40 Jews. They resolved not to eat until they killed Paul. Wow. Do you know Satan has that same kind of want for us? He wants us dead. And I'm going to give you a little hint. It may not be physically. He wants us spiritually dead. Then he can use us for advertising. Paul had the goal of a fierce determination to keep pressing ahead. We just read it. His goal is, I'm going to keep on keeping on and be the best I can be for Jesus. Now, here's goals. Now, we're talking Bible again. We got back on track. I'm glad you got back on track, preacher. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Peter. We're talking about Paul. Yeah. So, see, you can never stop until every part of your God-given assignment has been fulfilled. That's what Paul was saying. I'm not going to stop. We can't stop. We can't throw on the brakes. We just can't go, well, Lord, you know, I really, New Year's Day, I was talking to you, and I was feeling a little convicted. And so, I said, okay, Lord, I'll be a servant this year, and I'll be a steward this year, and I'll steward my time, my talent, my treasures to you, Lord. I will do what I can, because last year I was a little on the slack side, but this year you can bet, God, everything is going to be awesome. And I ask you now, 6 months later, what am I saying? What is my new thing? What am I going to do? Am I maturing in God, or am I still just playing around? Am I distracted at every moment? You know, I find myself going back to college, and I didn't realize how distracting I was to my wife when she started college again. And she said, when you start, I'm going to show you something. So I'm here starting, and of course, her class was at University of Mount Olive, but they did 3 weeks of work, 3 weeks worth of work in 1 week. I'm at Lee, I'm doing 2 weeks worth of work in 1 week. So I'm here and I'm trying to read, and I read one page 20 times. Because every time I'd get going, Linda would go, Or she said, let me know when you're studying now, and she'd go get a big old bag of potato chips. And she would start rattling the bag, and then Bethany had to get in on it. And you know, Satan's doing that to some of us right now, right this moment. As I speak, you don't even know what I said. You ain't heard a word I said because he's distracted you. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? Satan doesn't want you. He don't care if you have goals. He doesn't want you to meet those goals. He doesn't want you to walk around and think, what are we talking about? Where are we going? What do we say? Where are we going? God wants us to know what we got to do and to get it done. Do you think if I was going to the moon and I was in the Apollo capsule, I'd want the guys in command control to be doing anything else but taking care of me? I'm taking up there. Know what's going on, checking all the stuff around me, knowing their part in the mission, knowing everything that's got to be done. The same way. People are dying and going to hell. When I go to Pitt Detention Center, they're getting younger. The youth is getting filled up more and more and more. When you go in there, notice the youth part being filled up more and more and more. The charges are getting greater and greater. And I watch and I see people that we know, maybe not know directly, maybe indirectly, but there's people we know live in this area. Live in Chocowinity, live in Washington, that if we'd have spent 5 minutes talking with them, we wouldn't have to go visit them while they're behind bars. It's important that we set some goals this year. We've already set some. You don't have to look, talk to God about it. But here it is. Watch this now. I'm going to give you the scriptures now. You say, well, what? Show me the scriptures. Here they are. I'm glad you asked. Y'all getting awful quiet. Come on. Smile. Wave. Okay. Tips for goal setting. New Year's reset. Ready? Peter said, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. Matthew 26:35. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem like a flint. Luke 9:51, that's Jesus. Those Jews, when it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. They were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. Acts 23. Then Paul, now that I've already obtained this, the resurrection of the dead, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, But it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which lie behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. Now, I like this version here. You're going to like this. Watch this. First, how many remember this guy right here? How many times he kicked that football and she keeps pulling it up? But he never stops, does he? He's sitting there thinking right now, should I? Is she going to be there this time? What's going to happen? I want you to see this now. Watch this scripture. I'm not saying I have this all together, that I haven't made. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, do not get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this. This is Paul talking. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on. Wow. God's speaking to us. We got a mission to fulfill. How many knows that? We got a mission to fulfill. We got something to do. You know, not lately, but there have been times where somebody actually, out of nowhere, for no reason whatsoever, died or wound up in jail or wound up in some kind of trouble. And the Holy Spirit reminds me that I told him I would talk to anybody he wanted me to talk to about Jesus. And he said, I told you, just before this happened, to go talk to that person. But you didn't. Either because you didn't have time, either because you didn't think that I was serious, or maybe you even had something going on with that person you didn't like anyway, and so, hey, it don't matter. God's saying, I want to use you. So now, if you're going to be used of God, first you got to know what you want to accomplish. You got to know it. You know, those making goals knew exactly what they wanted. Peter wanted to keep from denying Jesus, and Jesus, he wanted to go to Jerusalem and fulfill his mission. The Jews, they wanted Paul dead. Paul wanted to be his best for Christ and stay at it until the end. So, if you're going to set any goal, whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical, honestly, let me just tell you something. We're not physical beings searching. We're not physical beings living a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings living an earthly experience. Because after this earthly is gone, we're going to carry on somewhere. Every last one of us, when we're dead, we're going to still be alive. And as we're alive on the other side, we'll find out just what happened and what was going on the other side. You know, I was at Emmaus the other night, and I tell y'all this all the time, but I told the guys in Emmaus, I said, because they were talking about churches are getting less and less people in them all the time, and people are just going every now and then, and blah, 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 and it's everywhere going on. And I told the whole crowd, I said, I'm going to tell you that there's going to be a day when every church in this nation is going to be filled to the brim. And so people got all excited because they thought I was getting ready to prophesy how God's going to bring a great big revival. And I said, you know what day that's going to be? The Sunday after the rapture. First thing we filled up. How did we miss it? I'm showing you. Well, what do we do? How do we get cold and not even know it? That's part of it. You get cold and don't even realize that you're cold. You know, my daddy, bless his heart, some of y'all saw the picture. My daddy was working a press, a break in the press last week, and he's working a break in the press. He puts in a piece of metal, and he's got his thumbs. He's trying to push the metal in there, and he still didn't clearly tell me all that happened, but he told the guy to go ahead, and his fingers were under the metal, not in the press. It had clipped it right off, but under the metal, and it almost tore that thumb off right here. And clipped the skin and just took the meat right off here. And they had to put pins in his thumb, and they're praying that it's going to stick, that everything's going to be okay. But he says, son, I got that thumb almost cut off. And he says, to this day, a week later, I never failed. He said, I can't explain it. He said, the doctors had me hooked into monitors. The rescue squad come and got me, carried me to the hospital. And they said, all the monitors showed that I was experiencing pain. He said, but I didn't feel it. And I still don't. He says, pray that his thumb attaches back like it's supposed to. That's the scary part about spirituality. There's times we can grow cold and all the signs and all the symptoms are there, but we don't feel it, so we don't know it. Watch carefully yourself. Watch carefully the goals that you have. Watch carefully the plans you make. Put God in them. Get God. I'm going to tell you at the end. I'm going to got papers to pass out too. It's going to help you. Again, I told you this is one of those meddling sermons, but it's okay because you need a meddling sermon every now and then. Amen. Praise God. So watch this. How do I make plans? I can look at these guys right here and I can tell you how to make plans. Number one, and here's the biggest problem with a lot of people, including me. Number one, I'm going to make plans. Know your own limitations. A lot of times we overextend. We promise more than we can do. And we don't understand that when God blesses us, with every blessing comes a burden. Did you know that? With every blessing comes a burden. And the burden is there to keep you balanced when the blessing comes. One of the most blessed persons in the entire world, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But can you imagine the burden of an unwed mother telling her fiance, a man visited my house this morning, I'm pregnant. He's saying, I don't want any part of this, I'm gone. And then God telling him, oh, no, it's good. She's telling the truth. Come on back. And then living with that. Can you imagine the burden that came with that blessing? So then sometimes we overthink our own ability. Just period. Watch this. Peter boasted that he would never deny the Lord. He said, I will die before I deny you, Lord. You can count on it. And the other guy said, we're the same way, Lord. You can count on all of us. And he said, before the night's over, yeah, y'all going to run. And Peter says, well, not me. They can run, but not me. I'm the man. I mean, I got the power. And Jesus says, before the night's over, before the cock crows, then it's time to wake up. You're going to deny me three times. Talking about a wake-up call, that rooster gave him a tremendous wake-up call, because on the third time he denied, the rooster crows and he looks and Jesus is looking him right in the eyes. And the Bible says he ran out and wept bitterly because he remembered what he said. You say, we're not going to deny you, Lord. Yeah, right. Didn't happen that way. I mean, here can say, I made God a promise. I told God I was going to do this. These are promises I made this year. These are fresh. I'm not talking about something you made 20 years ago. I'm not talking about something you made 50 years ago. I'm talking about something you made in January. Lord, I'm going to be a better servant, steward. I'm going to be a better father, mother, daughter, son, student. Didn't have no way. He was warming himself by the fire. He denies three times that he knows Jesus. Jesus warned him that this was going to happen. But he's telling Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I love it when I tell my kids something and they come back and say, or look at me and say, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. And then a few weeks, months later, they come back and say, Dad, you did know what you were talking about. And every time I hear that, I feel good inside. You know why? Not because of them. Because every time I hear that, I think of all the times my daddy said the same thing to me. And I said, Daddy, you don't know what you're talking about. I got this. Every time I get a chance to do it, it's almost like, okay, I'm getting a chance to get back something I lost back then. Okay? One time Daniel did that. Daniel said, and it was a biggie. He made a biggie. And he goes, okay, go ahead and say it. I said, say what? He says, you know. I said, no, I don't. He says, go ahead and say it, Dad. I said, say what? He said, now you know what I'm talking about. I said, no, Daniel, I don't know what you're talking about. What you're talking about. He said, say it. I said, say what? He said, say it. He said, I told you so. I said, I don't need to say it, son. You just said it for me. You see, the problem was Peter in his pride. I mean, some of us, we don't realize it. I'm here to tell you something that's going to sound kind of weird. But sometimes we have something called false humility. Get ready. We think we're being humble. We think we're not rising up. We're being humble, not realizing the whole time that it's false humility. It's really pride. Somebody hurt us. Somebody kicked us. We have one of those camels like we talked about last week come along and spit on us and step on us. And so, well, we're just going to be humble and sit back and just let things ride over and not realizing. No, that's false humility. Actually, it's pride. I got hurt. Guess what? I can get hurt again. I got slapped. Nope, I'm going to slap me again. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. Yesterday, I was on the way to the hospital. My mind went blank. I went to the hospital. All right. I went to the hospital. My father-in-law just had hernia surgery. He's 83 years old. Just had hernia surgery. He calls me. I was doing my homework. I was trying to finish up my homework. And it's bad when you take psychology courses because now they're letting your own people, your other students, your classmates. I had to grade their paper. And they had to grade my paper. And I'm waiting for one person to grade my paper so I can go and fix it and present it again after I'm being graded by my own people, which kind of makes you think about living the Christian life in a good way, not a bad way. All right. So my father-in-law calls me and says, can you talk to your brother for me? I don't have any hot water, and I got a gas hot water here. I don't have any hot water. Can you tell your brother I need some help? And my brother works with gas. I said, sure. So I called my brother. He says, we won't come in until Monday, and I won't be doing it. Somebody else will be doing it. I said, well, look, it's just going to be the pipe light. My brother said, I'll tell you what. You go there. You call me up, and I'll walk you through it. I said, all right. So we go in there because he's got a fancy one of his fancy jobs. So I go in, and when I get there, now I'm on the way to the hospital, but I decided, though, I'm not kidding, Holy Spirit told me, he said, do not take a bath. Do not change clothes. Put on some nasty clothes. Not to go to the hospital, but to go to my father-in-law's. So I put on some old nasty clothes, and I get there, and my father-in-law's walking out in the front yard working, playing with a water hose and going on. I said, what's going on? Get in the house. You got to cut your side. Go get in the house. And I go, look, and I hear water running. Under the house. And so I walk around, and he says, yeah, I got a leak somewhere. I'm going to crawl under there sometime today. Just had hernia surgery, 83 years old, going to climb under the house and look for a water leak. I said, no, you're not. You're going to sit in the swing. I'm going to take care of it. And I look, and I kid you not, because I stick my hand in to check it. water, the lowest water was this high. In some spots, it went that high. It had been running since wee hours in the morning, a steady stream. I said, well, there's electric stuff under there, too. I don't know if I want to go in there or not. And all of a sudden, his dog come out from under there. I said, well, he didn't kill the dog. It won't kill me. Thank you, Lord. That was my canary in the mine. And so I told my father-in-law, I said, I'm going under. He says, you want a board? I said, no, I need a raft. And so I entered my pockets. The father's going to the penitentiary center. I entered my pockets. Took my shoes off, and I climbed under there. And thought I had everything pretty much going. And there was a bad connection, a bad pressure fitting. So I tried to fix the pressure fitting. I go back out. Long story short, I go to D.C. who lives about a mile and a half away. I'm going to try to see if he's got a pump. Here's how God works, how great he is. I go to D.C. He didn't even hear me pull up. I got my hair sticking out like this because I'm a head. I've been laying in water. And I'm wet everywhere. And I got mud on me everywhere. Mud on my face, mud everywhere. I got my shoes off. I'm barefoot. I got mud on my jeans. I come walking out of my car. I got a towel in my car so I can sit in my car. I come walking to D.C. and I'm going, look, and my pants are wet, so I'm doing like this. Look, look, look. And D.C. turns around like I was the monster from the Black Lagoon. D.C. just jumped all back at me. Oh, God. And then he said, have you been fighting, Dad? Let me know. I'm ready to go kick some hind part. I said, no, I ain't been fighting, son. I saw I got a leak in my car. Can you fix it? And so here's how God works. DC said, I don't have a pump. State patrolman who lives next door saw DC jump. He was on patrol, but he stopped by his house for a minute, and he saw DC jump. He came out and see what was DC jump out and saw me look like a wild man, and he had a pump. He said, you can use my pump. Follow me. I'll go get it. So I wrote to Linda, don't worry about getting a pump. Here's what I sent back to my text. A state patrolman stopped me. He told me he had a pump, so I'm following him to go get a pump. And I come back, Linda says, I want to hear this story. But after we got all that water pumped out and still had little spots in it, that thing broke again. So my father-in-law happened to have the good stuff, so I put the good stuff under there and fixed it. But this time it's even worse because the first time I was full of water, now I'm full of mud. And I thought about that thing. How many times are we willing to spiritually climb in the mud? Now, Bethany even said, you might want to get Daniel to do this because he's learned that commando training. I said, I don't need a commando. I need a plumber. I don't need a more hole shot in. I need a pick. Okay. But I started thinking about a thing. The Lord started speaking to me while I was under there. And he said, how many wouldn't even go the first time? And how many would go the second time after you started drying off and started getting feeling a little better, you know? And again, you see, Peter said, I'll never deny you. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of business. But you know something? Again, knowing your own limitations. If that's how I felt yesterday, that's my father-in-law with the cork, and that's me in the bottle. Okay. If Peter had taken Jesus' words to heart, the situation could have been so, so different. You see, maybe he would have stayed away from the courtyard. Maybe he would have stayed away from the fire. Maybe the slave girl would not have recognized him. But he says, I know what I'm doing, God. I got it. And on the third time, he's saying, no, I don't know him. And it says he cursed. So what he said was, God, I told the man, said the little girl, if I know him, let God strike me dead right now. That's what curse means. It means to lay a cussing on. And when that rooster crowed, you know what the rooster was saying? Not, rrr. The rooster was saying,
No, you didn't know what you were doing. No, you didn't know what you were doing. No, you didn't know what you were doing.
You see, anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Just pay attention. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't forget that we're all human and we're all apt to sin. We're all apt to mistake. If anybody in here does not think that, anybody here thinks they do not make any mistakes, watch it. Matter of fact, you know, there's a lot of folks that won't cut anybody else any slack. And what I find out with somebody that won't cut anybody else any slack, you know what? They're really hard on themselves too. They really are. You don't know that, but they're hard on themselves too. Not only are they hard on themselves, they're beating themselves up for something they've done in the past. And because they're beating themselves up for something they've done in the past, then they have everybody in their line of sight of, hey, you messed up. So watch. Know your limitations. Number two. Come on, open that curtain. Number two, know your right from your wrong goals. If you're going to reset, if you're going to get yourself back in the game, if you're going to get back in there, know right from wrong goals. You see, the Jews determined not to eat until they had killed Paul. I think it's kind of funny because Paul was out, his goal was to destroy the church. His goal was to destroy Christians. There's no telling how many Christians lost their jobs, lost their families, lost their homes, lost their lives because of Paul. Because of Paul, some guys were put in the Colosseum and were put between chariots and pulled apart. Because of Paul, some guys were put in the Colosseums and had to fight the lions as the lions ate them. Paul caused a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. Because he didn't know the right from wrong goals. Well, on the road to Damascus, God told him, well, you got to get your goals lined up. Number two, now the Jews are coming after him. Kind of ironic, isn't it? You see, they said, we're not going to eat until we kill Paul. That's not a godly goal. That's not even a right goal. How many's ever said, I ought to give him a piece of my mind? Yeah, you got to have something to give. You can't afford that much. Yeah. Or, I'm not going to rest until I make his day miserable. The craziest thing I've ever seen. It drives me crazy. I like to watch boxing. But the craziest thing I've ever seen is when they get in the ring and they're getting ready to box, they get to their corner and those guys will do this. What are they saying? Lord, help me kill him? Or it could be, yeah, I've seen some of those guys. Yeah, Lord, spare me. I actually met a Pittsburgh Steeler lineman years ago when I was a teenager. Biggest man I ever seen in my life. And he said they fed him all grades of beef and stuff in training camps. And when they were going, they got even big. And said on his mouthpiece, he would write some crazy mess. And I'll just give you a simple G-rated one because he gave me some mighty ones there. When he get on the line, he would take his teeth. You know, that big old mouth of that mouthpiece. And it would say, eat this. Man. You got to be sure. You got to rethink this thing. If you're going to reset, rethink it. So, how am I sure that my goal is right? Here it comes. Here it goes. Get ready. This is cool. Number one, check your motive. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to please God? Am I doing this to please me? Am I doing this to bring glory to the kingdom, or am I doing this to bring glory to myself? Am I doing something that's going to actually, when it's over, people are going to look at it and say, you know, God did that. That's awesome. Now, number two, not only your motive, but your mission. What are you doing? Why am I doing it? What am I doing? You know, when I got to Pit Detention Thursday night, I went ahead and don't normally do this, but I went ahead and told Sister Boone, I said, look, I'm going to be librarian tonight. They have a librarian, but he only goes once a month. And where we go back there in the F block and D block, they don't seem to get much. So, and every time they check them, they take all their stuff away. So I went in there, and I just loaded up a cart full of books, novels, and a whole bunch of stuff, Christian novels, and found some thriller novels and all kinds of Christian material. And I would go inside of D block, and the first thing I would holler out is, Book of the Month Club! Those guys would run to the door. So I'd holler, Bookmobile! And they'd run. And I got a chance ministry was awesome. I didn't realize how much ministry was going to happen on Thursday night just passing out those books. A motive? Number one was not to bring glory to David. What kind of glory can I get out of bringing books to those guys? I know being shut up 23 hours a day in an 8x8 room can get rough. Especially if there's two of you in there. Can you imagine an 8x8 room with two guys? 23 hours a day. And I can promise you it don't smell good in there. Mission? What? Get some stuff in their hands. So I felt like if I get some stuff in their hands, they'd be less apt to be arguing and carrying on. Next thing. Moving. When am I going to do it? Well, I do it Thursday night. I thought about it. I prayed about it. I sent Sister Boone. Here's what she said. Well, the guy's already gone, but he went to A and B block. But the guy's already gone, but if you'd like to, I'm not sure what that meant. So I just wrote back. Amen, sister. Thank you. So now watch. Why am I doing it? What am I doing it? When am I going to do it? That's a powerful goal. That's something good. I'm almost through. Finally, know that your goals have consequences. And every consequence, listen, every one of your actions has a consequence. Every one of my actions has a consequence. And every one of our actions, not only do they have a consequence, there is a touch of eternity in every consequence. Every consequence, there's a touch. I remember one day, I think I might have told you all this. I've told some of you this. I was at the Emmaus walk, and I was one of the spiritual directors. And somebody sent me a letter. And let me just preface this. 3 years before, on a Sunday morning, I went in to preach, sort of like this, and when I went in to preach during praise and worship, the Lord said, that's not the sermon today. And I said, well, Lord, I've already prepared this sermon today. He said, do it next week. Something different today. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, John 14. I said, okay, what I do with John 14? And so I wrote down a few words, let not your heart be troubled, didn't let it be afraid, you believe in God, believe also in me. And I said, okay, Lord, now what? He says, roll with it. I said, okay. So I got up and I rolled with it for about 30 minutes. When I got through, I felt so bad because I felt like I'm stumbling over myself and beating up and going back and forth. And when I left that day, I really left defeated. I said, I really hear you, God. Was that really you? Oh, was that really you? And that, honestly, whenever I think about that, I would say, was that really you, God? Was that you talking? Because sometimes it wasn't God talking. I know that. I learned that later. But this time, 3 years later, I'm at Emmaus, and I get a letter. And it was from a guy that was sitting in that congregation that day. And he said, Brother David, I just want to tell you that I love you. And along with all the letter, but he said, I want you to know about something. He said, do you remember about 3 years ago, you stood up and started preaching on John 14, and said, God had just changed your mind. I said, yes. He said, Well, I said yes when I saw that. You remember preaching John 14? And he said, that day, my wife and I were fighting because she said she was going to leave me. And he said, my world was shattered. And he said, we came in, and when we sat down, he said, you stand up and say, God just changed this message. And he said, I was sitting down as you said, God changed the message. And he said, you turn to John 14:1. And he said, you know what? He said, God gave me something that day that got me through the next year. Something I could hold on to. And I want to thank you for being obedient. Why? You see, again, eternal consequences. Negative and positive. They can have eternal consequences. See, Jesus, he determined to go to Jerusalem to die. Think about those positive consequences. Paul sought to give it all he had until he obtained the resurrection from the dead. Can you see what kind of consequence? We're here today because of those two guys. We need to be like this. Set our face toward heaven and determine to please God. A lot better goals could ever be set. God, am I pleasing to you? When I go to work tomorrow, show me what to say and who to say it to. Just say, if nothing else, let me be an example. Help me to be an example. When I work with my kids, at least let me be an example before them. You see, God is watching. I got something here for you. If I can get two ushers here. You need two. They all looking good. Pass these out. Give everybody one. If we run out, this is a limited supply. If we run out, we got a copy machine. We'll make a second limited supply. A lot of times when you go to church, the preacher will tell you what you need to do something, then you walk out and go, well, I wish you had told me a little bit better how to do it. So here you go. I wish you had put this up on your refrigerator. I want you to think about it. I want you to look. Remember, resolutions are goals. Goals are opportunity. Remember that. There we go. Before I do something, and I do this stuff all the time with people in counseling, and I do it all the time with myself, when I'm trying to figure out something to do and how to do it. So watch this. Next time you're trying to make a decision, I put a lot of lines in there, but you can just keep that paper and keep that as your reference and just write them down on a piece of paper somewhere. Here it is. My goals. What is it that I'm trying to do? What is it that really is striking me hard to do right now? What is it? There's your goal. Then ask yourself these four questions. I didn't put a question mark on one of them, so you're going to have to add a question mark. But here it goes. After you trying to figure out what to do for God, here it is. Number one, am I actually being directed by God? It's my God goals. God goals in four questions. Am I actually, here's the goal. Am I actually being directed by God? If you can check it, that's good. Next, ask yourself, is it in line with His Word? If my goal is to go to one of my brothers and pop him in the back of the head as hard as I can on the baseball bat, you think God would tell me to do that? And does it line up with the Word? No. Some of these guys that have shot up abortion clinics, if they'd have used this piece of paper, they would have been a whole lot better off because God didn't direct them to go shoot that clinic up. So, number one, here's my goal. Here's what I thought God's telling me. Number one, is it directed by God? Here's how you test if it's directed by God. Number two, is it in line with His Word? Number three, does it require His help? When God's got you doing something, it's going to require His help. Because He's not going to ask you to do something, put something out there that you can just do on your own. Because if you do it on your own, then you're on your own. There's some of my people at Fountain. They come in and some of them will do some wild mess. Because I told them, you know, be free, think, be thinkers. And figure, when you're figuring out problems in this in our engineering environment, go ahead, you're engineers, think about it, it's fine. But here's what I would always tell them. Tell me what you're doing. Always. And they go, but you told us to be free thinkers. I said, yes, I want you to be a free thinker. But if you don't tell me what you're doing, they're coming to me to ask, why are you doing that? And I can't back you up, and I can't protect you, and I can't let you be a free thinker if you don't tell me what you're doing. So tell me what you're doing. Matter of fact, bounce it off me. I can be the first one to tell you, I don't think that'd be a good idea. Let's don't do it. Or I can be the one to say, yeah, go for it. That way, when the COO or Reggie or somebody comes by and goes, do you know what they're doing? I can go, yep. Been there. Seen it. Know it. Everything's cool. They go, okay. But I always hated it when I said, do you know what they're doing? And I'm going, please don't tell me. My goal, is it directed by God? Is it in line with His Word? Does it require His help? And number three, does it give glory to God? When it's all over with, is somebody going to go, wow, God's awesome? If you take that, and if you even think about your goals, your resolutions that you made 6 months ago, and put them in there, you may find out that some of your resolutions aren't so good anyway, just throw them away. If you do this, I honestly believe you've searched God through prayer. Is it directed by God? I've searched God through prayer. I've searched God through His Word. Is it in line with His Word? Requires God's help. I need His Spirit to help me. And at the end, there's a testimony. So watch that. All that's covered. It's all covered. All of God's stuff. I prayed. I sought His Word. I sought His Spirit to help me. And for God to open the doors or close doors. And now the testimony is God is going to get you. If you do this, wow. Can you imagine what's coming your way? Next time, if God so directs, that we have this, something like this, reset. You can say, you know what? I feel pretty good. I don't have a whole lot. I got to reset. I used to hate it in school when the teacher would say, did you do your homework? If you did do your homework last night, raise your hand. Did you even carry your book home? Raise your hand. I'm looking at one right now that had the same problem. It looks like he had the lightest knapsack. Anybody I knew had cookies in it and stuff. Didn't have books. But even in Bible college, we had these real thick books that we paid a lot of money for. And our professor would say, read that book, but I'm not even going to teach from it. I'm going to teach from something else. You need to take my notes and read that thick book along with doing my notes and doing the stuff I tell you to do. And they'd say, part of this course is you've got to say you've read at least 90% of the book. And I'd always say, do you want the truth or do you want me to speak evangelistic? And I would say, no, I didn't read the book. Or yeah, I read a few pages. If we're not going to be studying it, why do I even have to read it? That makes sense. You realize we're pastors. You realize we got stuff going on. I'm also a baseball coach, football coach, basketball coach. I'm a daddy. I'm a husband. And I'm doing all this other work you put on top of me. And I got to read this book. It's boring. And it's so boring, you don't want to teach out of it. And he would go, okay, you get a C for that. And I said, what's that C for? Because I'm average. He says, no, plan. I pray, and I hope we close. Everybody stand up. DC, y'all come play something. I hope that this message today brought some insight into finding direction from God. It brought some insight into getting back in the game if you find yourself getting out of the game. Maybe next week we'll talk about prayer. I'm not even sure anymore. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. The first goal that we need is to know Jesus. That's number one. If we don't know Jesus, then the rest of the goals will be kind of useless. Well, nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you're here and you say, my goal of meeting Jesus has never been met, I need to meet Jesus as my Savior. Would you put up that hand? I need Jesus. Number two, maybe your goal is to draw closer to God so you can do all this stuff. And while everybody's head's bowed, every eye's closed, can you just slip that hand and say, Pastor, I need to draw closer. I need God to help me. I need to draw closer. Lord, you see these hands. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to bless each hand that was raised. Lord, and the hands that wanted to be raised. Lord, help them to draw closer to you. Lord, help them, God, to put the opportunities as goals. And one of them is to draw closer to you. And to know, don't even have to even look at that paper. God wants you to draw closer. But if you want to know how, pray. Be directed by God. Look at His Word. Get in line with His Word. Wait for God to help you, to show you, guide you, direct you. And then wait for the testimony. God's going to give an awesome testimony through you. And I thank you for it. Maybe you're here this morning, and you never really thought about resolutions as goals and goals as opportunities. You thought it was just something that we always did on the first of the year, and by the third of the year, by the third of the month of the first year, they were about gone. But now you realize this is some powerful stuff. And God wants us to move forward in Him. If I'm speaking to you right now, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, nobody's looking around. But would you put the hand up and say, you know, I see goals and opportunities in a whole different way. And I know that God wants us to have goals and opportunities. If we want the goals, He'll bring the opportunity. God, help us, Lord, to seek it out and to watch what you can do in our lives. Touch them right now, Father. Minister to them mightily. Lord, let this impregnate their spirit. Impregnate so that they give birth to something powerful. Germinate in their soul. I thank you for it, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're more than enough. And we thank you for it. Right now, if you raised your hand or wanted to and didn't, or you got a whole different reason, we're going to open up these altars. Come on to the altar and ask God to touch. For whatever reason that you have need prayer for, ask God to do what only God can do. God, I need to get back in the game. I need to keep swinging. You know, I got so challenged a couple of days ago. My challenge was I was in the office and I walked out and I saw a lawnmower go by. Matter of fact, I got challenged twice, last week and then this week. Last week I saw a low-flying plane cutting the grass. And it was Steve. And I said, man, that guy's still kicking. He's still getting it. God's getting some glory out of him today. Praise God. Like the crop duster going in. It was awesome. And then just when I thought that was about as awesome as it gets, this week I go looking out the door, and there's Brother Billy, 87 years old, soon be 88, out there cutting the grass. Wow. blew me away. Blew me absolutely away. I said, God, let me keep my goals fresh in my face, fresh in my mind, fresh in my spirit, so that when my time comes, I can be like Paul. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you give us these goals. You give us this stuff. Lord, you minister to us and through us all the time for us to be more like you. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God, a powerful God. And God, you want us to be more like you every day. I thank you, Lord. 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 You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fellas, come on up here and help me pray. Our sister's back to her. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch my sister. Minister mighty to her and through her, Father. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, let her feel your power, your anointing. Lord, heal her. Make her every bit whole in the name of Jesus. She has an awesome testimony for you. Bless her, Lord, in a very powerful way. And we thank you for your strength, your anointing. And Lord, I ask you also, Father, we're going to anoint Gail Stovall through our sister. Touch Gail Stovall, who got in a wreck yesterday and broke her back. Father, I thank you, Lord, for touching her. Ministering to her right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, it didn't paralyze her, Lord, but she's in pain. Touch her. Lift her up in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Touch both my sisters right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, in case you didn't hear, Gail Stovall got in a wreck night before last, and she broke her back. But at least the best thing about it, she's not paralyzed, but she's in a lot of pain. And so Bill said, can we please pray for her? That's where I was going when my father-in-law's stuff fell all to pieces. God is awesome. God is awesome. All the time. Yes. Yes. And just remember, there he is. That's the man right there. You know, I forgot how many inventions he's credited with. But do you know that, let me just tell you something. You might not have realized this. He didn't actually think them all up himself. Did you know that? He had a whole team with him. And he told them to be creative. Think. And so a lot of the stuff the team did. Of course, he got the patents and he got the stuff. But he's the one that said, genius, he was a genius. Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. He also... It took him 1,000 times to make a light bulb that would actually work, to get a filament that would work. And on the 1,000th time, he actually made a light bulb that would work. And somebody said, aren't you aggravated that it took you 1,000 times to find something that would work? You know what he said? No, I just found out 999 things that wouldn't work. And then his big old place that he had burnt down, full of inventions. And he's standing there with all this work being burnt right in front of him. And they asked him, said, "Aren't you upset?" He said, "Nah, it's just a chance for me to start over." One of the most awesome men of our time. And you know who he used to, you know who he used to hang with? When it's in the summertime, he went to Florida. I'm trying to think of the third person that it was him. It was Goodyear, Ford, and Edison. And they all stayed side by side. Iron sharpens iron. Isn't that cool? God's got this, and God wants to use us. We got to let him. Amen? Reset those goals. Reset and let God do it. I'm excited. I'm so excited about what God will do if we just let him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Brother Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?